where and which tonight. Pastor Hughes?
First, we give honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of our lives. Next, we honor our county commissioners that make decisions in the best interest of our county. Let us bow our head at this time as we go before the throne of grace. Almighty and eternal God, everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus, we thank you for your love for loving us. We thank you for your mercy that you have upon us from day to day. Not necessarily because of our goodness, but because you're a God of love and mercy. Jesus, we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection, giving us a right to the tree of life, Father. And Lord, Father, I lift our county commissioners up to you at this time. We thank you for them. Father, we pray that you will continue to give them the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that they will continue to make decisions in the best interest of our city, and not only the city, but our county as a whole. Father, oh God, that it will benefit everyone. We thank you for them. We ask your blessings upon them and upon everyone here. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone here say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Now for the pledge. I want to ask you to put your hand over your heart. Just kind of look to the flag. That flag represents something. Men have suffered and died, been wounded for that flag. It represents our nation. Our nation, America, is not perfect, but I thank God for America.
Amen.
Let us do the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Pastor Tommy Hughes for our prayer tonight and leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm so happy that our pastors from Taylor County are coming forward and doing such as Pastor Hughes did tonight. We're real thankful for that. I want to welcome each one of you tonight to our first Board of County Commissioner meeting of March 2017. I'll go over a couple of board rules. You know, we have a few board rules I'd like to discuss. Number one, if you wish to speak on a subject while we're talking, if you'll raise your hand, I will recognize you and I'll come back to you and let you speak. Second thing, if you've not silenced your cell phones, would you please do so at this time? And then I ask that everyone to please be courteous and respectful of one another. With that said, we will go to item number 3, approval of the agenda. Item number 15, the board to discuss garbage roll-off site hours of operation as agenda by Commissioner Russell has been removed from the agenda. And we're going to add 6A, the board to consider adoption of resolution recognizing Taylor County native Garrett Blount for his accomplishments as an NFL Super Bowl champion and how it positively reflects on Taylor County as agenda by Commissioner Demps. And item 14A is the board to consider approval of a grant proposal for the Steinhatchee Fisheries Management Area Public Fishing Zone SFMA-PF2 Reef Enhancement, Construction, and Deployment Project in the amount of $60,000 and a Taylor County Artificial Reef Monitoring Grant Proposal in the amount of $60,000 for fiscal year 2017-2018 to be submitted to the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, FWC, as agended by Clay Olson, County Extension Agent. And there is a $3,000 in-kind match for these grants. If that's all the additions and deletions, I'll ask for a motion to approve the amended agenda. We have a motion by Commissioner Wilson, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Consent items 4 and 5. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
And a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 6, the board to consider adoption of a resolution of appreciation to Hunter and Holly Banky for their donation to Taylor County to purchase a 15-passenger van for use by the County Extension Office. Is there a motion to read the resolution?
Motion to read the resolution by title.
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. And I'll ask our acting attorney, Sonny Bishop, to please read by title only.
Thank you. Resolution. A resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, thanking Hunter and Holly Banky for their generous donation to fund the purchase of a 15-passenger van for the Taylor County Extension Office to support 4-H County Extension programming efforts.
Thank
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the resolution.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Russell. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now, did I understand, Abby, that you wanted to get a picture or?
Yes, can I get a photo?
You want to come forward and tell us what you want?
Well, can we get photos with the commission for the bankies and the press? That would work for you.
Where you want us at?
To support it. We used to
come down.
Okay, do you come?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody. I don't understand
about the talking. Between two talks.
Two talks. I'll get over with you.
Did you want to hold this?
Okay. Yes. Can
you? You need it.
Yes. Where do I need to be?
Are you
receiving it? I'm seeing it and honored now. Yeah. Yes. They told me to come receive it. So, okay. That's fine.
Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop?
Thank you. Title only? Did I understand?
Well, do we want to read it just by title only?
Yeah, no, just.
Read the whole thing or by title only?
Just.
Commissioner Dips?
Title only.
Thank you.
Do we need to change our motion then?
No, I think that's what we're saying.
I understood it as title only.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
A resolution by the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, recognizing LeGarrette Blount as a hometown hero and as a two-time National Football League Super Bowl champion.
Thank you. Okay, is there a motion to adopt?
Second.
A motion by Commissioner Dips, second by Commissioner Russell. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number seven. The board to receive bids for construction of the Taylor Coastal Navigational Aids Berg Racks and River Entrance Markers set for this date at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
We only have one bid, and I gave each one of the board members a bag for the bid.
Myself, Public Works Director Hank Evans, and Victor Blanco of the Taylor County Marine Agency.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's the available amount of funding we have to do?
As far as I know, there is not necessarily a budget or a cost center set aside for this. We were to advertise this as a restoration because of the hurricane and then submit that to FEMA. I was in contact with them this morning in regards to there being just a single bid because they had asked me to submit the three lowest bids to them, just making sure that there weren't going to be any issues with that. And they assured us this morning that, you know, just submit documentation that you followed the purchasing policy or the bid policy, and there wouldn't be any issues with a single bid.
Is that a 75%?
As far as I know, that's a 75-12-12 or 12.5-12.5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing.
Is that 25% in kind of cash?
12.5. The state has on 12.5.
FEMA pays 5.5 and we pay 12.5.
That's the way I understand it. Steve, you correct me if I'm wrong.
There he is right there. He said you're right.
That's
correct. All right.
75% of 12.5 would be our portion. Yes. That could be in kind or whatever, but generally 12.5%.
That's mighty cheap to get a marker to.
Actually, it's probably really close. Last time, I think that was $60,000 for the three bird racks. They were about $20,000 a piece. And then it was $50,000 or so for four of the river entrance markers. So it's real close in line with what we paid before.
So I'm assuming then that the next meeting that we have.
Yes, ma'am. All we'll do is just make sure they dotted their I's and cross their T's and come back. I'll forward this to FEMA to make sure that they don't see any issues with it. And that way, when we come back, we'll have an idea of what our cost is relative to the project.
And we'll know what basically FEMA's going to do.
That's correct. Okay. I don't think we should move forward unless we're certain that they're going to pay for it.
Commissioner Page.
Mr. Dunn, have we used D&L contracting before?
Multiple times. Good contractor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, they... I want to say they did the river entrance markers last time.
I thought we'd use them. And you were happy with them?
I wasn't over that project. They did Mandalay with me, and I was very pleased with their project.
Very good job there.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Sure.
Let's make sure in the bid they have specified 2.5 hot water treatment on them.
I did.
You did?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yes, sir. You're allowed to spec 2.5 on pilings and substructure. When it's items that you're actually going to come in contact with, you have to lower the treatment level. Then this gets down to a 0.6 ACQ. So I took all of that into consideration. I like the higher treatment because it's a lot more durable material.
Right. The part up above, when bird roost on it, that nitrogen getting on it, pretty rough on it, it might be, the whole thing needs to be 2.5 foot. It might help make it last a little longer on the upper part of the structure.
Like I said, things that you're going to be in contact with, we're not, the rules don't allow you to go to a 2.5 CCA treatment. You have to keep that at the 0.6, which is still a higher than what you're going to find at your local hardware, which is a pressure treated material. I push it as far as we can go just to make it more durable, but I can't overstep it. So.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Will it light be on that mark?
Excuse me?
Will it light be on that mark?
Yes, sir. And that's one thing that we've been going through with FEMA on this. The river entrance markers that we have here don't include the lighting. That's going to be separate apart from that, and they have ad nauseum, how much is it going to cost for this light, how much is it going to cost to install it, and we've provided those figures to them as well. And that'll be a, if you'd like, we'll bring that back the next time so that you can kind of, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but we'll bring that back. There'll be three of those.
Another question. Will that be solar?
It has a solar recharge panel.
Just in case I was out there, you know, at night.
Unless you want to plug it in for us. Well, and that's
something. You can develop it too, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I learned when I did the Mandalay. There's a tape that's called conspicuity tape. That's the red and the white that's highly prismatic. Mm-hmm. There's something even brighter than that. It's called soulless tape. And I included that on the river entrance markers and the bird racks because I myself go out there at night and it's nice to swipe that cube beam across there and see where that structure is if the light's not working.
Yeah.
Sure is. Thank you. Item number 8. The board will hold a public hearing set for this date at 6:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible on the passage of a proposed ordinance to add an additional no-wait zone, Spring Warrior, to ordinance number 2000-6. Section 7-8 of the Taylor County Code of Ordinances. This is a public hearing, so I think we should read the ordinance. Is there a motion to read the ordinance by title only?
I move.
Okay. Then we have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
An ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County to add additional no-wait zone to ordinance number 2000-6, section 78-2 of the Taylor County Code to provide for the protection of life and to prevent damage or injury to life by setting idle speed or no-wait zone in certain areas of Spring Warrior in Taylor County, Florida, providing for severability and providing an effective date.
So this is a public hearing. If you'd like to speak on this, you can come forward to the podium and state your name and address at this time. If there's no one who wishes to speak on this, is there a motion to approve the ordinance?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Roll call
vote.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Moody. Roll call vote.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Page?
Yes.
Commissioner Russell?
Aye.
Commissioner Dent?
Yes.
Commissioner Beagle?
Yes.
It passes by unanimous vote of the board. Thank you. Item number 9. The board will hold a public hearing set for this date at 6:10 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible on the passage of a proposed ordinance amending the Taylor County Code of Ordinances to expand the limits of golf cart operation at Keaton Beach. Is there a motion to read?
Motion. Second.
And we have a motion by Commissioner Russell, second by Commissioner Page. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
An ordinance of the Taylor County Board of County Commissioners, which amends section 74-43C of the Taylor County Code of Ordinances, which expands the limits of golf cart operation at Keaton Beach from Jody Morgan Grade to J.L. Gibson Road, providing for severability and providing an effective date.
Thank you. This is another public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to come forward and state your name and address and speak to this this item number 8, number 9? If not, then this is another roll call, right? Okay, so we will
do the motion in a second.
Is there a motion to...
Okay.
Got the motion?
I'll second.
Motion. We did roll call vote.
Yes. A motion by Commissioner Hibbs, second by Commissioner Page.
Okay. Commissioner Booty?
Yes.
Commissioner Page?
Yes.
Commissioner Russell?
Aye.
Commissioner Dent?
Yes.
Commissioner Beagle?
Yes.
Passes by unanimous vote.
Thank you. Item number 10, the board to consider a request of Sheriff Wayne Padgett to accept a 2005 Raxi Scan 515 X-ray machine for the courthouse security checkpoint from Columbia County Sheriff's Office at no cost to the county. Is there a motion to accept?
No, sir.
Second.
Got a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 11, the board to consider filling a vacancy on the Taylor County Development Authority TCDA board with applicant Don Everett Jr. as agenda by Scott Frederick, TCDA director. There were no other applicants received. Yes.
I was going to ask, Madam Chair, if I may, if this was advertised. Normally,
the
copy of
the advertisement is in the package. Don't know
that it was. Chair, yes, it was advertised and it was in the newspaper, and IOB failed to put it in. But they ran a help ad.
Help ad or for both?
Board member and the classified ads.
Thank you.
All right. Any motion?
Yes.
I move.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Gibbs, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 12, the board to discuss the Stephen Springs Restoration Project located in Steenhatchee and consider rescinding prior action of the board and awarding the bid to the next bidder, Underwater Mechanic Services, LLC, as agended by Melody Cox, Grants Director.
As I outlined in your agenda package, the contractor, Mr. DeYoung, has not been in compliance with the terms of the notice to bidder, with the bid documents, and with the service agreement, that he, standard agreement that he had signed. We had requested in all the documents that we were providing workman's comp information at the time of within 30 days with a list of employees who would be on site. We have not been provided that information, and I'm requesting that we award the bid to the second highest bidder, which was Underwater Mechanics. They were a higher bid and over the amount we've had. I have discussed it with them, and we actually, if we had a little assistance from the road department, we would be within the amount of funding we have available. We have $97,000 and they can do it for $94,000. I feel like we worked very hard with Mr. DeYoung. When we received the bids, they were not in compliance with the detailed description that was required with the bid documents. Dustin and I discussed it, and instead of rejecting their bid, we gave them an additional 10 days to provide that information to us since they were a local bidder. So I think we went above and beyond to try to work with them. I discussed it with Mr. DeYoung when he came to sign the standard form of agreement, and we were very clear on what was required. I actually had Jamie Boothby with me because we had had a little bit of conflict before, so I wanted to make sure that it was witnessed, but I feel like we've worked very hard to try to work with him. At one point, Mr. DeYoung told me that Johnny White Construction would actually be doing the work. Johnny White Septic. He is not a licensed contractor with the state of Florida. And we need to be in compliance not only with the grant agreement, but with the ERP issued by Water Management District.
As long as you feel like that you did everything to keep us out of any trouble down the road.
I feel like we went above and beyond. I've discussed it with Water Management District. I went to a Restore Act training and I discussed it with the Dixie County Administrator because he's worked a lot with Water Management District on Springs Project, and I wanted to discuss it with him because he's worked a lot. I've talked to Patrick Webster several times with Water Management District, but I think it's very important to be in compliance. This is our first Springs Project, and Water Management District's been good on assisting us with funding, and I want to do everything we can for this project to be successful with no conflict.
Madam Chair, I move to rescind our previous action in which we awarded the contract to Young Construction and instruct staff to consider the next bid from Underwater and Mechanic Services LLC.
Did I hear you correct? Did you say he was a licensed contractor in the state of Florida?
Johnny White Septic is not a licensed contractor with the state of Florida. We verified that with the Department of Regulations.
The one that that didn't have the workers' comp insurance, or the one you?
Mr. Young provided the information on both because he did not have workers' comp information, and so then he provided me information on Johnny White Construction, and he is not a licensed contractor. Or Johnny White Septic, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Sir, if you would come to the podium and state your name and address, you may speak.
My name is Edward D. Young. I live in Stinghatchee. And I want to apologize for this becoming an issue. Perhaps I should have been a little bit more clear in explaining. There are, I believe, two issues here. The workers' comp issue, and in the bid documents, they ask for a copy of your workers' comp policy, okay? And being working at a diminished volume from what I used to do, and I have done a lot of projects directly for the Water Management District, including Springs, not specifically this type of work, but I did Stinghatchee Falls, which has, I believe, where they got the idea for the rock surrounding of the spring. Now, on the workers' comp, I've been using a payroll company when I have a payroll. Right now, I don't have a payroll. Johnny White does not have workers' comp. I got him approved through the same payroll company that I use. I understand that the issue is that you don't need anybody, you don't want anybody, and rightly so, on the job, unless they're covered by workers' comp. And the payroll company in Jacksonville, that's what they do. They actually technically lease, the employees work for them. I don't know if you understand how this works, but it's very standard in the construction industry, especially in small operations. And everybody on the job will be covered. I could not provide a list of everybody that's going to be on the job because I have no date yet to start, other than Jesse White, who's the equipment operator, and Johnny White. And I didn't list them as employees, but doing all the work. And the other issue is that, to my knowledge, and I'm pretty sure about this, there is not a specialty license for site work. So in other words, I hold a state-certified building contractor's license and an underground utility license, which really should cover the entire scope of the work. Johnny White is subcontracting for me, and effectively we're working in partnership. I think you understand he lives right next door to the spring. All his equipment is right there. I think I got a little out of context there, but I was explaining about the employees. Other than them, you won't need anybody but a couple of manual laborers for a couple of weeks, stack rocks. That labor pool is kind of flexible. People go off and work on industrial shutdowns. I don't know who I'm going to have, but they will be covered by workers' comp. If you all want to take this job away from me, I mean, that's your option. I'm not going to be offended. I'm doing it mainly for Johnny. He lives right next door. He said if somebody's going to do it, he wants to be the one to do it. I know we're capable, and I believe that we're legally able to do the work as described. It's really a technicality, I believe.
Okay, are there any questions from the board for Sister?
Didn't you have 30 days to come up with this
thing? Well, and again, I provided with letters. Again, my payroll company wouldn't write a policy. They won't write a policy until you have an actual payroll. But I got a letter from them. I sent all the paperwork in to Johnny, and they sent back, said yes, he was accepted. So it takes merely a phone call to activate the workers' comp policy. And that's all it takes. And I did provide that. As far as him being a licensed contractor, he's a licensed septic tank. He's a business owner, the LLC. He has a Taylor County business license. And it's my understanding, and I did consult Danny Reimer about this, and he agreed with me, that there is not a specialty contracting license for site work, running equipment. You work under my underground utility license on the site work that involves the drainage. And so I just really think it's, I felt confident in my position. What I'm apologizing for, going back to the beginning, is that I maybe took my position too liberally
did we all notified about all that within 30 days? You never heard a thing from him?
All he provided was the letter that I provided to y'all. I have not been provided what we requested in the bid documents and in the contract.
Did you not have a letter from the workers' comp?
I provided that letter to me.
Okay, Commissioner Russell.
You know, just after hearing you speak there for a second, maybe we should go to Johnny White and let him do it if we're not going to ask for a contractor, because you've said nothing that's your responsibility.
No, it is my responsibility. I am the contractor. Johnny White works.
But who's going to do the work? You said Johnny and his son?
They are the principal, because it's principally equipment work. We're going to have a couple laborers.
So you just
but I can't enlist the laborers because I haven't hired them yet.
So you just going to be the overseer?
Yeah, essentially. And the manager.
And I've worked a lot of jobs. I've never had one that I didn't have to give my workman's comp policy when it required workman's comp, especially in the state and the federal government. When you cut timber on their lands in the bid document, that's one of the things you have to send with it, an insurance policy covering
that. Well, and I asked for a policy, and that was my explanation. They said, well, we can't write the policy without a payroll.
I was a policy number, and how much it costs for 100, the whole 9 yards. We had that.
I had a regular policy like that for many years. And I've been working under the payroll company, and they cover you for workers' comp. And I've done a lot of work for Johnny. We put in a whole bunch of sewers and steam hatch and working for the Big Bend Water Association.
Are there any other questions from any other board members?
Is this a letter to the leasing company?
Yes.
So we leasing company?
Yes.
They have what we need?
They will provide it upon, if we had a start date, and I could say this is the date, this is the people, then they will provide a policy immediately, yes.
So this has been working all over the state of Florida?
Yeah. It's a very standard operating procedure in small operations. I don't have employees all the time.
But this is not what we ask for.
Not specifically, no, sir.
Anybody else? Okay.
Chair, yes. I need to repeat my motion.
Yes.
So we're three.
My motion was to rescind the previous action by the board in which the contract was awarded the construction. And then also to award the bid to Underwater Mechanic Services per recommendation of our grant back.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
A second motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Russell. Any further discussion?
Is that award the $94,000?
I'll bring back the exact amount next board meeting and how we'll reach that.
We're not going to put them out in this minute.
I didn't want to move forward with anything until I had your approval tonight. Your approval.
So we've got a motion and a second. And again, the differential in the cost is how much? From DeYoung to the Southern? There'll be no difference in the cost?
There's approximately $9,000 difference, but it's covered with the grant.
Okay.
I will not be asking the board for any funding.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say. Yes.
Now, you're saying we're going to go with the second contract?
That's his motion.
That's my motion.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
Okay, so. We have a motion.
Mr. Ridgeway.
Yes, if you'll come to the podium, please.
Stan Ridgeway, Steam Hatching. I'm the designated project manager over the rehab of Stephen Springs. I would like you to look at your motion and the action you're about to take. And instead of awarding the contract to Underwater Mechanics, instruct staff to negotiate with Underwater Mechanics to see the best price that they would give to do the job, and then come back to you for further instructions. They may come within the $97,000. They may want a little more than that. Since we're not asking the county for any money, then it would be up to me to raise that money. Get it by going back to Swami Water Management and asking for an add on their grant, which they have indicated they would be willing to listen to.
Okay, so our grants director said that there'd be no cost to the county.
And I'm saying there'll be no cost to the county.
Okay, hold on just a second.
And I'm not an attorney by any means.
We come up so we can hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. Just a suggestion, because I understand what he's trying to do, but I think it's procedurally at least a little out of sequence. My suggestion would be to, if you're going to waive the lowest responsive bidder, move to the second one, is that your motion this evening would be to award it to that company based on the availability of funds. What Mr. Ridgeway is suggesting is typically referred to as value engineering suggestions. That happens after you get to the contract. You don't go to a contractor and say, hey, how about you change what you're bidding and then I'll award it to you. That's inappropriate. So what I'm going to suggest is, if this is your motion that you're going to put in place today, award it to whatever that company was, Underwater or something, based on the availability of funding. Let Melody work her end of it with Swanee River and her grant. And then if the company after that time wants to come back in and offer you a value engineering proposal that changes things, that's the time it's supposed to happen. You don't do it before a contract.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dudley. Before I entertain a change in the motion, but I'd like to make sure that everybody has had an opportunity that wants to speak on the subject to speak. So is there anybody else that has anything to say about this before we move forward? Okay, if not, Commissioner Page, do you want to change your motion?
Yes, I'll change my motion to read that the board, that I move to rescind the previous action, in which the project was awarded to be under construction, and to award a bid to Underwater Mechanics Services based on the availability of funds.
Okay. And who is the second on that?
Mr. Russell.
Okay, so we've got a motion. Is there a second?
Yeah, that's fine.
And so we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Russell. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you. And I do want to apologize to Mr. Ridgway. He's had a really difficult time with this. He's had some other things set to him, and he's stayed the course and wanted to continue being project manager. So I want to thank him on behalf of all of us for speaking by and doing this project with us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Item 15, the board to consider accepting the bid received from Alert Construction for construction of a fire training tower and to allocate funds to the fire department budget for construction as agended by Dan Cassell, fire chief.
Good evening. The last board meeting we received bids, they've been reviewed. We had the two bids total. We had the first from Alert Construction, came at $63,779.35. The second was from Fire Blast Global at $186,898.25. Big committee's recommendation, if we choose to move forward with this project, would be to go with Alert Construction. They also have a local satellite office. They're based out of Valdosta, but they have a local office. For the funding, we did receive the $36,000 from GP as a donation to move forward with this. So that leaves us in a deficit of $27,779.35. For the board to move forward with this, we would need to pull fund from the MSTU reserve if we move forward with it this year. If not, it would have to be budgeted into next year's budget.
How much is that would be budgeted?
It would be the $27,779.
You had $30,000 already.
We had $36,000 from GP. And then we have also, on a side note, we did get the deed back, or a deed back for the land. We need to get the city to sign it still, and that is for 1 acre with an easement attached. We have to get it signed still. It's been the land transfer has been approved from the city already. Okay. We move forward with the other Mr. Bishop. To go ahead and get in and have him draft the deed for us, so that is all done. We just need to move forward. But we didn't do that as of yet because we wanted to see the pleasure of the board with the rest of this project.
Are there any more questions from the board?
Yes. Now, as I understand it, this is a 60-something thousand dollar project.
Yes, sir.
And we had a donation of 36.
Yes, sir.
36,000. And you are asking for this board for $27,779.35.
Yes.
To be taken out of next.
The options to the board would be, we can take it out of this budget here, but it would have to come out of the MSTU reserve.
How much money is in the MSTU reserve?
I believe there's a little over $500,000 in the MSTU reserve for capital. Last time we checked, I think it was $550.
Now, MSTU, there are other things that are funded out of that other than fire.
Yes, sir. I believe it's animal control and majority of your building services.
Is this something that could wait for next year?
It's not, if we can, we can table this and accept this company and move forward and saying when we have the funds in the next budget year, we can do that. This is one of those things that we've discussed in the past. For our staffing issues, for getting more volunteer firefighters. Without this, there are no more volunteer firefighters.
What do you mean? Excuse me.
We can't train any additional. We can, if somebody comes certified, they can start volunteering, but we can't certify anybody else to become a volunteer until we have the capability to do the live fire training.
Okay. Mr. Page, you want to finish?
Yes, let me ask one more question.
Yes,
sir. Do you anticipate any other requests out of this $500,000?
Yes, there is our next item in the agenda would also be out of that.
How much is that?
The next one that is for the fire assessment, that would be 38.5.
So 38.27.
That's a grand total of 66.27935.
Out of 500,000.
Yes.
I can't see much difference in taking it out of what you already got and then taking it or taking it out next year. But I just don't want to get the numbers crunched.
And then, on the fire system, which we'll talk about in a second, that is something we did budget in the past, but we never used, and it was rolled back in. So that funding has been budgeted into the fire department before, but we didn't move forward with it. But like I said, that's on the next agenda item. We'll discuss that more generally.
I've asked all the questions.
Are there any other board members that wish to ask any questions?
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Will you let the city be part of that volunteer?
Yes, sir. The training, when we got the donation from GP, it was based off of the idea that we would have a facility that would be open for GP's fire brigade to train, county fire, and city fire as well. And so we can also work on a mutual aid partnership.
Okay. From year to year, is there maintenance to be done on this?
Sir?
From year to year, is there maintenance to be done on this?
There would probably be some, but it'll be minuscule. The building itself is nothing but the Connex storage box, storage containers that are stacked end on end. So the worst case scenario, and the way we've designed it, it's a modular design. So the one room that would hold the fire and would potentially be damaged will be able to be unbolted, moved away, and just have slide a new one in where we wouldn't have these type of costs again.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Since the city will be using this, have we asked the city if they could help with the cost?
We haven't, but they've also decided to give the county the acre of land with the easement.
What was the value of that?
I do not know that off the top of my head.
Does anybody have an idea of the value of that?
Mm-hmm. Where is it located?
It was off of Gulf Street. I believe there's only a few $1,000 for that portion.
I'm just wondering if we should look at the value of that and see if there's an opportunity here that they may could help us a little more. What do y'all think about that?
I think that's an excellent question.
And if you'd like, I can go to the city on that one.
We can table it and bring it back.
Yeah, so I'd like to see it tabled then until we can get that information and come back, at least re-agenda this.
Would it be please the board if I want to go to approach them, if I look at the value of the land that we were going to receive and then add that into what would their in-kind portion would be and then see if they'll half it with us? We'll see what we can get.
Sure, just the half of it and to subtract that, and the differential would be what we'd be very pleased if they would help us with them. Yes.
Just out of curiosity, if you're going to do that, why don't you add into our initial investment and go back and ask them, why don't y'all help us with initial investment? Because you're talking about a $2,000 piece of land, and you're asking us here tonight to give you $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. I mean, I don't think anything should be added back. I think they should help with it and pay as Commissioner Fever said.
Yeah, I think that's... If I understood, that was the direction of the board, is we would go and get them to do it half of the 2779, and understanding that because they're giving us the land, we'd probably include the value of the land on that with their match on it.
Yes,
just after Mr. Pension, Commissioner Gibbs, go ahead and sit
here. You know, we're talking about 3 inches, we're talking about GP, we're talking about the city, we're talking about the county, all of them taxpayers, so. When we go to these people, we need to be cordial. We need to be cordial without questions, and just be cordial.
Oh, yes.
Okay, if we do that, I think we all need to work together. This is 2017. This is not 1904, you know. Mm-hmm. So we need to be cordial when we go to people and ask. And I'm glad to see a cooperative effort between two governments and a private entity.
Yes, sir, and so we've had a very good working relationship with them. So far moving forward, you know, identifying the land. Originally it was going to be leased, and then they decided they'd go ahead and deed it over. So we've had a good working relationship with them on this project.
And just before Commissioner Page, I just want to say that was a very good comment, and I agree with that. We don't want to be demanding. No. We want to be very cordial, and go a lot further if that's the way we approach this thing. Commissioner Page.
I have a motion to offer to table this action on this item. To allow the fire chief time to negotiate with the city.
I'll I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dent. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 14, the board to consider accepting the bid received from Government Services Group, GSG, to conduct and implement a fire assessment fee study and to reallocate funds from MSTU reserve to the fire department budget for services as agenda by the fire chief.
We had three bids read at the last meeting. GSU was our lowest. Their initial bid was for phase one and phase two was $27,500. We have an anticipated mail-out cost of $11,000 on that one. For public notices, it's required that it goes out first class mail. So that's what brings our total up to the $38,500 to conduct the entire thing. As we proceed forward, if the board gets to phase end of phase one, they're not happy, we do not have to move forward. Phase one is going to cost $19,700. If we see what we like, we can move forward from there. And then your additional $7,800 would be for phase two. And then once again, we're estimating about $11,000 for mail outs. And this is, like what I was saying a moment ago, is something that we did budget for 2 years ago. At that point in time, it was, board didn't decide to move forward with the project. This year, we obviously did, so we went out to bid on these. So this is money we did have, you know, we did set aside in the past, and then we just rolled it right back into the budget, and it got, you know, put back into the reserve because we didn't use it.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Yeah. I wasn't able to. This fee assessment, is that true? Is that what you're going to charge?
Yeah, that's the idea behind the fee assessment is we're going to bring this company in to help us build and design so we can figure out how much it would be for businesses, residents, everything like that, and build it legally. I know we've talked in the past about making sure it's something that will stand up in court and make sure it's done legally. The reason we bring in this company is to make sure that it's done correctly.
Are you familiar with what happened in Madison County?
Yes, sir. And they had to go back and fix it. And they currently operate with the fire system.
How did they fix it?
They had to pay back some people, and then they had to hire a company such as this one to get it done correctly. But like I said, Madison does have a fire assessment today.
They have a fire assessment?
Yes, sir.
Similar to what we're...
Yes, sir. We are about the only county in this area that doesn't fund the fire department through a fire assessment.
You're funded out of the MST, excuse me, Adam.
Yes.
So what will happen to those funds? I'm asking questions to myself. That several thousand dollars, what will happen to those funds?
For if we get the fire assessment, you're saying? if the board chooses to move forward with the fire assessment after it's all implemented, and that's how we get funded, our goal is to have this done before the budget workshops, or at least at the beginning of your budget workshops, so it allows you the opportunity to decide what to do with those funds, whether you would lower the rate, reallocate funds, as you saw fit.
Any further discussion?
Yes. Now, it's going to cost us, the county, the board, $19,700 for us to take a look at what this consultant's going to propose.
Well, for them to actually do the work, to put it together, to give you something to decide if you want to move forward and put it into order.
I can't tell you tonight whether I'm for it or against it because I haven't seen the product and what they're going to present. So the question for me is, am I willing to gamble $19,700 to take a peek at what it is?
Yes, and like I said, what they're going to draft together is essentially what you would be putting on to the citizens. And as we go through this process, if you don't like the way it's designed, they go back and they redesign it. If you say we don't want churches to have this assessment on them, they go back and they take it off, and then they reformulate everything and they put it back. So that's the services they bring to us, is they design the fire assessment so we can fund the fire department adequately.
Madam Chair.
Hold on just a second.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Commissioner Russell.
the one thing I and Lo would never vote for, except condition of which that you reduce the MSTU presently, the amount that it takes to operate the fire department, and let that fire department be included on the fire assessment. Because what you're doing is you're adding an additional tax. And if some of these people, commissioners, has to run next year. And when you go to adding fire tax, and you go to adding any kind of tax, they can speak for themselves, but I'm telling you that it makes a difference.
Well, and to that note, like I said, if the board chooses to pass this, I don't control it. That's the board that decides if you want to lower the rate or what you would want to do.
Does that defeat the purpose, though?
Mr. Chair? Okay.
Yes.
We went through this exercise in Jackson County with the same company, GSG. They're very qualified. They've done a number of these all over the state. They did a really good job for us in Jackson County. They will take all the property. One good thing about this is, you know, your homestead exemption knocks out a lot of structures. Mm-hmm. This will not take in homestead exemption. This will put an assessment on all structures regardless. So that's one good thing about it. This company will survey. They will bring back. First of all, they got to look at his budget. Only fire department monies can be
only fund the fire service.
Can only fund fire service. You can't fund ambulances or anything else. Can only fund fire service. So take a look at his budget. How much will it take to fund his fire service? And in Jackson County, it was $59 a household. Of course, a bigger county.
Yeah.
Survey. It may be higher here, but you could set that level at whatever you want. You might decide you only want to fund half of his fire department at maybe $100 a household or 25% of his budget at $50 a household. That will be up to you to set whatever the assessment will be and whatever portion of his will fund. As far as anything moving forward, that would be a policy decision if you want to simply take his budget over here and put on fire assessment and reduce the MSTU budget. That's a policy decision. For certain board, not for this gentleman or myself or anything to recommend at this time.
And so basically what this $20,000 does is they make the assessment and give us the information,
yes.
And then what we do with the information is up to us. Well, you know, I want our fire department to be top of the line as far as we can afford it. If my house catches on fire, I want you to be there to put it out. And if my neighbor's house catches on fire, I want you to be there to put it out so it doesn't catch my house on fire. And I know that y'all have a lot of needs. The fire department is very critical to this county. For me, I haven't spoken about it, but for me, I'm for moving forward with this assessment to get on the road with this.
I'm for moving forward with it, too.
Right.
Because no matter if you pay any taxes or not, if you call for the fire department, they're going to come. And people that pay in taxes, I know it might increase theirs a little bit, but it's going to get a little bit of money out of people that's not paying any taxes.
That's why a lot of counties are looking.
And that's a no-brainer for I'm concerned, because if that one paying no taxes call 911, they're going to fight his fire just as hard as they do a man paying high tax. So, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, there will be.
Madam Chair, with your permission, I move we approve awarding the bid received from GSC to conduct and implement a fire assessment fee study. And my motion is for phase one for the $19,700. Then we can do the other if we like to receive.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion?
Commissioner Feeble. Does your motion say that the funds for this assessment be transferred from the MSTU reserves?
I'll add that to my motion. It's all right.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Yeah, one thing I was going to say, it will be in their contract for them to provide presentations to the board to make better decisions.
I have, Madam Chair, I have one question. Yeah. Mr. Black.
Yes, sir.
Restate what you said up there a minute ago. You talked, this gets below the homestead exemption? Yes. Charge those people, so the people who live in the little cracker box who have been there all the year, they still have to pay
the same. They will pay the same assessment as the mega mansion folks.
Each house will pay the same assessment.
Yep. Now you can set this up different. You could reach a threshold or over 2,500 to be different or whatever. Yeah. But it will catch.
You've got a little flexibility.
Yes, you can set up in tiers that you can say houses valued under a certain amount, pay this much, over a certain amount pays this. You can do it by square foot. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different fire tests.
You can exempt churches, et cetera, too, if you want.
Any way we want. We can customize
and
this.
Yes, I would assume when we come to you with this, you're going to have options.
Yeah. Now, one thing, I know we passed it, but I just thought about this. And you said that they'll go back and they'll change it and they'll do this and do that. Now, that's still under the same $19,700? Okay.
As long as we don't have additional site visits, our price should all stay the same.
Okay. I've gone through this exercise before, so we'll keep it within the budget.
Okay. I have someone in the audience. If you'll come forward, state your name and address.
Only Ralph Jenny Road. I'm part of the fire service of Fairway. Everybody pays some, and you could exempt people that can't afford it. There's an issue that really came up when you first started talking. You're doing this for structures and residences, okay? Our county fire department now responds to grass fires. Technically, under this new, if you do this, they can't go to a grass fire. Shouldn't go to a grass fire. But they spend, and you can find out, most of the responses are a little fired by the road. But technically, if I'm right, well, this is adopted the way you've got it written. Now, the legislature passed a rule last year, you can't put it on ag. You're speaking of farming, man. But I think if you check, you can't go to but what if you, a special assessment can only be used for the purpose which it was intended, just like solid waste. But anyway, just that's what. You'll need to address that.
Okay, Mr. Lake, you said you're the leaders. Would you come and address that, please?
It can only be used to fund the fire department, but it doesn't curtail them answering any calls that they need.
Yeah, we can still go to every call like we normally do. What they're going to do is they take our call logs from everything we've run in the past, and that's how they decide how it needs to be built to fund. And he's right, as far as ag land, you cannot put this assessment on ag land for them to pay because there's forestry, a division of forestry, we still would be able to respond. It doesn't limit our response to 911 calls. It just, that aspect of it is only for how it gets sent out on tag rolls.
Thank you. Okay, moving along to item 14A. The board to consider approval of a grant proposal for the Steam Hatchie Fisheries Management Area Public Fishing Zone, SFMA-PFZ, Reef Enhancement Construction and Employment Project in the amount of $60,000 and a Taylor County Artificial Reef Monitoring Grant Proposal in the amount of $60,000 for fiscal year 2017-2018 to be submitted to the FWC as attended by Clay Olson, County Extension Agent. There's a $3,000 in-kind match for these grants. Ms. Paulson?
Yes, ma'am. Victor, would you come with me? For those of you, again, thank you, Commission, for your support over the years. I wanted to introduce you formally to Victor Blanco, who is our Marine Extension Agent of the Sea Grant. Victor is the one who put these applications together. He is skilled in many areas, and this is one of them. I would like to say that the $3,000 in-kind match was on our last one, but this one does not include a match for the county, so we don't have a match. So it's strictly a grant from FWC for reef construction and for monitoring. $60,000.
The reason I said that because it was in our package.
Yes, ma'am.
That there was a match. But
yes, ma'am.
There's not.
There is not.
Okay, good. Thank you for clearing that up.
Motion to accept.
Second.
So Victor, again, is going to be he's been very helpful in our working with trying to get our boat, Louisa, off of our coast, off of the, from the hurricane. The DOT right away, so we worked on that. It'd be great with our 4-H program, and I'm very excited that we have him working with Taylor County. So,
is the state helping us get Louisa off?
We hope, yes, sir. We're applying for a grant for that, and that'll be on your next agenda.
We're gonna. I mean, after all, we can't help the hurricane more than others.
Yes, sir.
As it is on the state, right?
Yes, sir. And so Victor's been instrumental with coordinating FWC, FDOT, the personal owners, and has got a solution that we'll bring forward to you at your next board meeting.
I think Louisa will be talking
about. It's a big sailboat that broke loose during the hurricane, and it's down there next to Rotor Mooring Space.
100 feet long?
50 or 60.
30.
Yeah, 60. 60.
16 feet.
Item 15 has been removed from the agenda, so we're going to go to item 16. The board to consider petition to abandon an alley, which is Gamble Alley, located in block 84, Steen Hatchie subdivision, between 2nd Street Southeast and 3rd Street Southeast, as agended by Ted Lakey, County Administrator. Okay, we all have seen and heard, so. Are there any questions from the board or any discussion? Okay. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Demps. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 17, the County Administrator to discuss informational items.
The only thing I have, just real quick, I was informed by the state that in the future, hopefully not forever and ever, but we're not going to be able to get any more of the free crews. We have to pay crews. The free crews, they've got some staff shortages at the prison, so we'll probably be able to get those crews in the future. So.
Oh, no.
Is that for us or for other counties?
For other.
Everybody is.
Not everyone state, just here locally. I don't have what the staffing situation is.
Why?
The staffing situation in the prison.
That's not true for medical. Yeah.
Staffing.
They have 8 or 10 free.
That's good. They got some better staffing.
Well, do we need to talk to our senator?
We have to recruit some people to work.
Recruit some people to work, I guess. Anyway, just that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Item number 18, comments and concerns from the public on non-agenda items. If you're here and you wish to speak on a non-agenda item, you can come forward to the podium and state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes to speak. If we need more time or if it's something that we need to vote on, we can have it put on a future agenda. So.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, I come before you tonight with the statutes and constitution of the building contractors of the state of Florida. This county is eat up with non-qualified people that's doing construction work with no license, no workman's comp. It's all over Steen Hatchie and the beaches. I'd like to give you all a copy of this, and I'd like to ask you, Commissioners, to give this gentleman here, the administrator on code enforcement, a man that is a code enforcement person, has to be strong and willed, because he's not going to be liked by too many people. So I'd ask you people to give this administrator here the power to go ahead and get this code, the agenda set up for this code enforcement. It's not being used in Taylor County. I don't have too much more to say about that, but you 5 people, Madam Chair, I'd like y'all to look into this. And for small businesses, the backbone of the nation, It ain't the big business, it's the small business. I'm the owner of Odell Construction Services. I have a business out on 27, and I usually employ about 8 to 10 people here. That's pretty good sized payroll every week. Then we also have one in Central Florida, about 40 men working. So we're pretty good sized small businesses. But I come from Taylor County. I had to leave here one time working for $10 a day, working cows, smoking Jim Osteen. Had a wife and two little youngers. I had to skedaddle then. So, but I'm back here now. I've been back about 12 years. So I'd like to, and I want to keep my business going here. And we'll look for you people to give us contractors, and I'd like to give you all a copy of this, the Constitution of the State of Florida, all contractors. And this is for the whole state of Florida, not just Taylor County. We need some help. If you went away back 60 years ago, we'd need y'all to help out take care of yourself.
And who do you say you was?
Don't believe I would. Don't think I wouldn't. My name is Sonny Lawless, 501 Puckett Road, Perry, Florida, 34238, I think.
Yeah.
So thank you. Come see me. I got the log house, brick wall.
Beautiful place.
Says
beautiful place.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
Thank you all.
My name is James Oakleaf, and I live at 3319 Grambling Lane, and I was going to speak on the same subject. From what I understand, the building department can't do anything about people working, you know, without a license. I spoke to the code enforcement officer, and he said as far as he knows, for over 9 years, the code enforcement officer has never done anything, you know, never wrote any citations or anything. And all that we're asking for is a fair playing field. We cannot compete with somebody who can go out there and work for $12 or $15 an hour, you know, for beer or pot money, whatever they're doing, you know, because we're a legitimate company. We pay a lot of taxes, or my boss does a lot of taxes on property, you know, here in Taylor County. We have a huge shop, you know, payroll taxes. It's expensive, that, you know, I'm sure all of y'all know, to be in business. And all that we're asking for is just a fair, you know, fair playing field of where we can actually compete and bid, you know, against each other.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak?
Wait a minute. On behalf of the board, I got to tell you that I don't think this board has ever said to any employee not to uphold the laws. That's essentially what I just heard you say. That someone in our department said that he couldn't uphold a law. Now, the law is what you had in this on the Florida statute. Well, we haven't asked Danny or no one else not to do that. I know I haven't, and I don't think my fellow people have. So, you know, if what we need to do is ask Mr. Lackey, would you take a copy of this, and would you sit down with Danny and tell him we've got to have the people to follow us. That's all there is to it. That's my saying. Now, there's five of us. But I'm not one to want to break the law for nobody. And I understand what you're saying about working and trying to pay workers' comp and other people not paying. I understand.
Commissioner Moody?
What they're getting around to is, if you don't pay workman's comp and you have an employee get hurt, for instance, he falls off the roof if he's doing roof work, and it happens around town a lot for roofers don't pay workman's comp in the past, and I know it for sure because I worked for one before, and if I'd have fell off the roof and broke my arm or my leg, I'd have went to the hospital, and if I didn't have any kind of insurance, I'd have a big bill when I left there. And the taxpayer of Taylor County, 9 out of 10 times, didn't have to have to eat that bill because people wouldn't pay it. If they're working for probably not a contractor out there, chance at all. They're not going to pay the bill, no way, but not. If they show up at the emergency room door, they got to fix them. And then the taxpayer is going to eat that bill. So it's a win-win situation for a Touchdown taxpayer to have everybody to work with comp, Florida contractor license or whatever. We really need to enforce that. And we really need to find out, not throwing those stones, we need to find out why for the last 9 years it hasn't been enforced.
Mr.
Page.
May I ask Mr. Blakey?
Yes, sir.
How you handle this in Jackson County? Did you have an issue with?
We had a code enforcement officer in Jackson County, full-time code
enforcement officer.
Yeah. Full-time code enforcement officer, code enforcement board also, to take those complaints to. And I think even the building officials involved in making sure there's compliance with your contractors.
But, now, you had a full-time code enforcement officer, but you also had a county with 50,000 people.
Yes,
sir. We got a half-time code enforcement officer, and we got 22,000 people.
Right.
So we ought to be able to do something here comparable to what you did over there.
Sir.
I would think.
I'll take a look at this.
That's
sort of it.
Okay. Yep. Tell us what we need to do.
I will.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. If you'll come to the I really didn't want to come. State your name and address, ma'am.
Amy Carlton. I'm married to Joey Carlton, LLC. Just the question was, don't we have a code enforcement officer already?
Yes, part-time. Part-time.
Okay. That was the question. Yes. I thought we had one.
Yep.
That was just the question.
Have you ever seen him walk into a job?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay.
No, sir, I have not. And I do know about workman's comp. I'm my husband's secretary as well as a full-time real estate agent. I do know about workman's comp and liability and how expensive it is. Didn't know that, but I do now, and it's, I agree with Mr. Wallace, it is quite expensive. Just for a small crew, very small crew.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, you want to come back and ask another question or make another comment?
Yes, ma'am. The county does have a licensing board, too. And the licensing board, I don't know if it ever meets once a year or whatever, but in the state statutes, the licensing boards can cease and desist, too, on this kind of stuff that's going on. And Mr. Bishop will probably tell you all what all this is. You know, it's so much reading there for me, but I know one thing. I'm covered up in license. We are a general contractor, a mechanical contractor, and a plumbing contractor, unlimited. My company, both of them, St. Cloud Welding and Odell Construction. I can build a 100-story building with my license, but not many around here in this county can do that. That's what kind of license we have. If you look at my shop, I got two tanks out there, been there 2 years, for the country of Venezuela. They're broke, they're socialist country, they've not even catch up on the shelves down there. They've been sitting there for 2 years. And we build tanks for, you know, foreign countries. So I'm charging them every week, every month, for being laid there.
Storage.
Exactly.
Mr. Lakey,
yes, sir.
If you could find out how often and when the licensing board meets,
I will.
Report that back to us.
I will.
And anything else that you can research on these issues, and I think we should put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
For discussion.
Okay. We'll do that.
Anybody else want to say anything about this or anything else? Okay. If no one else has anything to say, then we're going to go to board informational items, and I'll start with you, Commissioner Moody.
Appreciate everybody coming tonight and bringing up things that we didn't know about. And I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr.
Moody. We're fixing to be here in springtime and scallop season and fishing season and mosquito season. They're just getting going good. People that I kind of know, we're working in that direction to make sure the mosquito business is took care of. And we're going to get the boat ramp business straightened out, too. We're in the process of working on the permits and the $5 interest fee and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we got that to, we keep, maybe keep, put that back on the agenda to work in. And that's about all I got. Appreciate y'all coming.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank our independent volunteer fire department and our regular fire department for your assistance in firing out an incontinence in the last couple of weeks. Bob Wood had a mobile home that caught fire. Bob had gone fishing and he looked back over and said, "That smoke's coming from near my place." He went back home and his mobile home was on fire. And I thank Ron Edwards, who's here, and Charles Mitzi, responding first from the volunteer fire department. Bob wanted me to publicly thank you. They kept the fire under control until your lieutenant and his folks got there. There were several mobile homes, understand, damaged or destroyed. And one power pole was burned. But you might want to tell us more about what happened. But Bob wanted me to thank profusely our county fire department, and especially our Inconvenient volunteers, Charles Mitzi and Ron Edwards. Thank you, Ron. Now, I'll stay a few nights with my wife down at the beach house, Barbara Beach House. I have friends down at the beach. And a gentleman came to visit us yesterday down at Dark Island. And he said recently, a boat with three individuals aboard come layering on high tide across that rock pile in front of Dark Island. And all three of them got pitched out of the boat, and one of them was cut pretty badly. He got out with blood. And his request was, can we put some markers out there that say rocks ahead or something? I don't think there are any PVC poles anymore. I know this is Commissioner Russell's district.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. You're the county commissioner.
Well, anyway, I think it's a great idea because, you know, I know the rocks are out there. But somebody may come in here from way off Georgia or somewhere, and you cut right across that bay, and if the tide's high, you can't see those rocks. If your prop hits it right, you can easily throw you out of the boat and you can be seriously injured. So I would ask Mr. Blackie to check in. Okay. Whether or not we can do that. I know, Ron, you can tell us once in Inconvenient, we had some little floating barbers, said rock, and it kind of identified where they were.
We put those out a few years ago, but the storms and everything. The
storm will blow away.
Yeah, they shifted around.
Shifted around.
Changed the warranty too and everything. So it needs to be redone, but it's just, I know it's a lot of cost for the buoys and everything. Myself and one of my neighbors wanted to deploy. So if that was no cost there, it was just the cost of the buoy and I think we used riffraff concrete that y'all busted up and drilled holes and anchored them down with that.
Yeah.
And they lasted quite a while.
Yeah, I remember they lasted several years.
It helped a lot. And we snickered a while ago because of the rock pile because we've been there. So I mean, it's just a matter of over a period of time. Us old guys just learned where they at and just died. Like you said, we are so many out of towners that's bringing money into us. We really need to look out for stuff like that. If it's nothing but a PVC, so a pole with a marker right on the top of it, it would be a help.
Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. And Reverend Hughes, especially thank you. That's a beautiful prayer you gave for us. As far as I'm concerned, you can come back regularly. That's all I have.
Before I move to the next commissioner, I think that's a good idea to mark these rocks. Now, someone had also asked down at Mandalay, going out from there, that it be marked also. And then I was told that they put the markers out there, and before the next morning, they're gone. Have y'all had any experience with people taking them like that?
No, we haven't had a different thing. At the time when we were putting these out, me and my friend went and we went and checked out at super low tide where the rocks were that needed to be marked. But at the time, the funding didn't come up for any more buoys, so it wasn't pursued any further than that. So there was never anything put on Mammal Day on the Los Angeles River. We just had just enough, and we had to improvise for a couple in different things. So we were kind of limited at the time due to funds that y'all had or what y'all set forth.
Okay, I'd like for us to at least try one more time on Mandalay, at Mandalay, put some out, and let's just see. Hopefully people won't take them up, but it's worth a try. Commissioner Dills?
Well, I'm sure I'm telling you, I become a bully too, since I reckon the last 2 years. I got 18 and a half foot. I hate running up on a pile of rock in my boat. If I see that ripple, I think it's mullet. But I hate to be rocks. So anything you can do to help those people like me out, I'd love to see you do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no difference between a ripple off of an oyster ball, a mullet, or a rock. It's all the same.
Okay, but I appreciate you coming too. You know you're one of my favorites. And, we grew up together. Hey, my hat's off to you. Wish you Godspeed in your mission.
Amen.
Thank you.
Ma'am. Right. I say something about also. The little boat ramp, there's about 3 places that could use a marker. But above that boat ramp, you'd be wasting your money and your time putting markers there. The people just not going to let them stay there. If they don't bow to them and then pull them over with their boat, they're going to remove them. The last gentleman that put markers there on his own expense, they ended up back on the dock. Somebody picked them up and carried them back and put them on the dock.
I heard that.
I mean, it's a fact. And they just don't want, they're trying to slow down the traffic going north. And I mean, that's just what's doing.
Well, if they hit the rocks, it'll slow them down.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting there fishing, minding my own business. Here comes a boat doing about 40. And he run into a rock about that far in the water, just about like this dead, looked about this high right there. Knocked it off, he knocked his motor off even with the bottom of the boat. Didn't hurt him, his boat went on over the rock. But he's lucky. He was real lucky. He wasn't standing up at the console or something that just threw him out.
I've seen that happen several times.
But it's gonna, you'd have to have a truckload of markers above the boat ramp.
But there's 1,000 rocks that need to be.
Right. And it's just too many rocks north to worry with. But there's about 3 below the boat ramp that could have those floats on. That would help a few people. Because you got deep water when you first leave the ramp heading down the river. And then there's a rock outside of this desk, just a little under the water. And a lot of people do hit it.
Yeah, well, maybe we can identify those that you're talking right. about on the south side and at least try to take care of those. And, you know, there's no need to spend the money if they're going to pull them right up, like I've been told, and like you know. So, just maybe on the side. Commissioner Gibbs, did you have anything else?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
Me and my captain right there, Big Q, we want to know what deep water channel you can go out of. Deep water? Keep it.
Jim?
Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Say that again.
What deep water channel can you go out at?
The best deep water channel in Taylor County right now beside the Steenhanger River is Keaton Beach Canal. It's not that deep, but it's the safest to go out of. And you can go out of Ben Holloway, you can go out of Eat Penny and Osella, but you better pick your tide,
yes,
and you better pay attention. Or you'll have good insurance on that motor.
You want to?
This is a good subject in discussion. Some years ago, I was going out to Rock Island with my 24-foot boat, and I hit an oyster bar, and I hit it so hard until it shut my engine off, and it costed me $560 to have the foot repaired in. My motor got on shock absorbers, you know, and it knocked them back almost about an inch. So if we had better navigational equipment, that would help everybody.
It would.
And I know how to read a navigational map. That is important. But then you got to go according to the tide. And I fish inshore and offshore. And the tide, that's very important. Just how high the sea is going to be. I limit my 24-foot boat to a 3-foot sea. Now, the boat can handle more than that, and I know how to navigate, but more than a 3-foot sea on a 24-foot boat, you don't really want to be out there.
Everybody that goes out there needs to go out there at dead low tide one time. Dead low tide on an airboat and just ride around with somebody on the airboat just a few minutes, and it will make you pay a world of attention when you go back out there with y'all for another day. That bay just turns into a different world out there at dead low tide. There's rocks picking up, you look off in the distance. They call one a gray mare. The other side of the office, it looks like a gray mare standing up out there like that.
Okay, also, this is not a part of the agenda, but the marker 20 out from Keaton Beach is have been removed. And that's a really good navigational marker.
It's gone now.
Oh, yes, it's gone. Will it be replaced? Or?
No, they took those up. They said I was out there today that the government come along and taking them all up. And they had a big barge, and I questioned them on it. They said it was more of a navigational hazard to have them there than it was. I enjoyed catching cobia around them myself, you know, and it was a good place to fish, but they took them up. They gone.
Okay, a lot of amateur boaters been using that for a navigational marker, how to get back in. It's worth about 5 or 6 nautical miles out from the last marker, Keaton Beach.
There's still some residue on the bottom that people fish off of right there, but the actual poles, the big beams that used to stick up there, they gone.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Russell?
May not be any opinion anybody except me, but I'd like to schedule it for mosquito control. They gotta have some type, and I've got your paper that said you had to have so many here and so many there. But no matter where I go, I seem to have plenty of them there. Keaton Beach, the speed bumps at Keaton Beach, Dead Man Curve, have been installed over 1,000 miles of the other. I'm grateful for that and pass that on to the County River Department. They did an excellent job. When you turn Dead Man's Curve, I've had a request, you're going toward Keaton Beach. That's like 200 foot from the center line to the right, 200 foot all the way to Clearwater Creek. And some of those residents in there would like to pay a tax over 100 foot of that. Would anybody in here have any objection? If they had it surveyed, it did exactly what they're supposed to do for a road closing 100 foot behind that property. Or would that be illegal to do that?
I think they need to file a petition.
File a petition and get it served.
You mean the road right away is 200 feet wide?
400 feet wide.
400?
Yeah. You see how far those houses sit back off the road? That's their property line.
But does we ever have any plans for smoothing out Dead Man's Curve?
I wish.
If you did, it'd have to be on the inside. I mean, you have to.
Is it on the other side?
It's on both sides.
Both sides.
I believe years ago they were going to take the bend out of that curve.
That's the fact.
And where did that come from?
That's the fact. That's where it was 30 years ago.
That's right. I remember Daddy and him talking about it.
Yeah, I can tell you, in 2001, April of 2001, my mother and her sister were in an accident there, and we lost both of them. At that time, I came before the board, and I asked the board, and Commissioner Russell, I think you were here.
I was here.
And I asked the board, could they please straighten out or make Dead Man's Curve a safer place, because there's been numerous deaths there. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of accidents there, and there'll be more to come. And at that time when I came before the board, and I remember Mr. Dudley actually had a drawing of how it was going to be laid out to be safer. And I guess, you know, I didn't come every meeting and hound the board like you have to do sometimes. And so it was dropped. But I don't really... I don't want to do anything that would inhibit us in the future possibly one day from fixing that curb, so we don't have anybody else such as my mother and my aunt to lose their lives on that curb. So I don't want to do that.
That's when they put the beacons up there, the blinking lights to remind them of the curb. Mm-hmm. I remember when they did that. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah.
But the reason why they didn't go on that curb, Kim, if you remember, we couldn't get the property on the inside lane to make that curb.
Yeah, I think it was Melvin Ballard's property or something. Yeah. It's got a bar pit on the inside.
That's right. That's
it moves a lot. In order to make it speed rated, that curb, I think it's a 55 mile an hour area through there. The radius of that curb moves a lot to the inside. I mean, it's not just a little, it has to move quite a bit. Even with a super elevated curb. But I do recall drafting out some alignment changes, and the board considered some of the properties, and I think there were some difficulties. That's why I never moved forward. That's why you have the advance warning with the rumble strips and the beacon notifications.
I would say if you really want to pursue this, that maybe it warrants further discussion at a workshop, Commissioner Russell.
That's fine. I mean, I just had a request. I brought it before the board.
Well, what you might want to consider is if you do renew those discussions on trying to realign that curb, you may want to reserve some of that right away and use that in exchange for some of the other areas to swap things out.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to exchange it than it is to get it to exchange.
Right, good, thank you.
And half of that beach bar would have had to be gone in with that, or part of that. If you remember, that came right out.
I remember it's pretty close. I remember it running
through the sign.
Melvin's bar of hit, and that was, that's about how far it moves.
It's right next door. You know where Melvin's bar is? It's right next door to the beach bar.
Yeah, it's just west of it.
Yeah.
But I think I recall it's only 200 foot highway through there, but it might be 4.
I would really like for the rocks that are in the mouth of where he said the deeper channel of that presently. There's a rock right there where you go out of the channel to keep the beach almost out of the water. And if you go to mark them, find out how they mark them. And if you don't do nothing else, get a buoy for crab box. Mm-hmm. And tie a buoy on the crab box and paint it orange, rust orange. And don't let nobody else use that, then you'll know what that
is. Isn't there a rock buoy on that one already?
No, it's gone. There was a piece of pipe there. There was a piece of white plastic pipe there.
I want to say Steve said we still have one rock buoy that...
I went down there a couple weeks ago.
I'm saying one that in storage that we could use if that one was missing.
That's a huge rock right there that is going out. I have nothing further. I have a road request, but I'll wait until we have a workshop.
Do you have anything?
My father will be back next week.
Ms. Anderson?
No, I think we lost Don Love yesterday.
Yes,
remember
yes.
His family?
Who?
Is it Don Love that was a county employee?
Oh.
He
was former code enforcement officer.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I guess it's my Madam Clerk. Okay, I think it's my time again. I want to thank the road department for the really good job that they've done out on Cabbage Grove Road, and back as you go down Cabbage Grove Road past the fire tower and all around to the paved road and all. They've really, oh my goodness, have y'all been down there?
I have.
And they have really done a fabulous job on that road. So be sure and tell them.
What did they do on that road?
They've cleared these sides.
Pushed
so you
dirt.
Can see around the curbs. And
where the water will drain off, push the higher dirt.
Yeah. It's just better than I've ever seen it.
They did out on the jetty grade too.
It's
so.
Racing right now.
Well, I was out there the other day, and I hope
the curb so that if anybody's coming around, I'm really afraid, but it's a good job by the road department.
Where are the speed limits on Kelly's Road?
Well, no, right.
I want to say too that I'm about to have several town hall meetings. I have one tomorrow night in Shady Grove. They all begin at 6. And then on Thursday night, I'll be up at the Osceola River at JR's store for our town hall meeting. The next week is spring vacation, and our little grandchildren are out of school and we're going somewhere. Then when we come back the week after that, on Thursday, March the 23rd, I'll have a town hall meeting at the Boyd Methodist Church at 6. And then the last one will be Monday, March the 27th, at the Johnson Stripling Road Firehouse. So we unfortunately invite anyone to come. I try to keep the meetings to an hour. I know everybody has family time and other things. And Mr. Lakey is going to be joining me and our sheriff, Wayne Pageant. So if you'll tell people they want to come out and meet our new administrator and our new sheriff, ask any questions or whatever, we're there to hear what people have to say. I appreciate all of you all coming tonight. Please come back and be with us again. Anybody else have anything before I ask for a motion to adjourn? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.